Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. That's our sermon theme this day. And yes, it's what we might call a deep text. You see, Christianity is a thinking person's religion. I know that. If it wasn't, God would have summarized it in two chapters and our Bible would have been this thick. But he gave us lots of information that we can fill in and understand the plan that he had for us. And the basis of our meditation for Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, is based on Galatians chapter 1, 11 through 17. Well, that's the first part that I'm going to do. We'll do verse 18 and following later on in the sermon. So here's your epistle reading and sermon text for the day. Paul says, I want you to know, fellow Christians, and we're now back in the bulletin, that the gospel I preach is not a human message, for I did not receive it from a man, nor was I taught it. He didn't receive it from a man like Muhammad. He received it from God himself. Rather, he says, Jesus Christ revealed it to me. Paul continues, you have heard what I used to do when I still lived according to the Jewish religion, how violently I persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it, and how I advanced in the Jewish religion beyond many who were my contemporaries among the people. At a young age, he became a leader in the Jewish church and was sent out to kill Christians. So extremely zealous I had become for the traditions of my ancestors. The minute I read that, all I can do is think about Fiddler on the Roof. Remember how the play started? Tradition. And Jesus attacked the tradition of the Jews. He said, you make for doctrines the commandments or traditions of men. That's how many religions are in the world. We end up worshiping ourselves instead of the God who created the universe, the God who has redeemed us. Paul continues, but when God, who appointed me from my mother's womb, thank goodness he wasn't aborted, or he wouldn't have been able to carry out God's plan. Way before he was born, God had appointed him, like Jeremiah, to be a servant of the word. And so it says, he appointed me and called me by his grace. Well, he was pleased to show me his son so that I would proclaim him. Not proclaim Paul, not proclaim some idea of the world, but to proclaim Jesus Christ, his son, so that I would proclaim him among the Gentiles. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. I did not immediately talk it over with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me. He said, when I was converted, I didn't run to Peter, James, Paul, or James, John, but I ran to Jesus and he trained me. He says, rather, I went to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. You remember how he was converted on the road to Damascus? Well, from Damascus, after his conversion, when he got his sight back, he went to Arabia, just across the border from Syria. And there Jesus personally trained him. Remember what it said formerly? Jesus revealed it to me. So he had a pretty good teacher. That's why we can call him an apostle. An apostle had to be one who saw Jesus and was taught directly by Jesus. Now, Paul came after Jesus went back to heaven. And if he would not have seen Jesus and been taught directly, he could not have been an apostle. Those were the credentials. So we know Jesus trained him. In the name of Jesus, he who commanded, go, make disciples of all nations. Amen. You heard the sermon hymn verse, if you cannot preach like Paul, but are you familiar, really, with the life and importance of the Apostle Paul as he was in God's plan to preach the gospel? I have to tell you right now, if it wouldn't have been for Paul being used by God, you would not be sitting here this morning. Because of the fact that he went out to non-Jews, to Gentiles, and spread the word, and then they spread it to others, and they to others, and it got even into places like Germany and other places, and actually even over to Parma, Ohio. That is why you are able to be here today. You know, this Apostle Paul, not only did he preach, but he wrote down what he preached. He wrote 13 or 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament, somewhat significant of a person. There's a book, probably you have it in your Christian library. It's called Halley's Bible Handbook. Next to the Bible, more editions of this little book have been published than any other book in Christian history. This is what Halley says about Paul. He says, next to Jesus, he's the greatest man of all the ages. He was the key influence behind Athanasius, Augustine, and Dr. Luther. This is the man that set the theology by the hand of God. Now, you probably know about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, correct? How the light shone, he went blind, he was led into the city. But do you know what followed? The theological significance of what happened to him after he was in Damascus? I'm going to read you the story. It's from Acts chapter 9. In Damascus, and I believe you have this on your sheet, in Damascus there was a disciple by the name of Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, get up. Go to the street called Straight. It's still there. In 1965, I stood on that street. Also saw the part of the wall where Paul was let down in a basket at a later time. And it says, and he's in the home of Judas. There, look for a man from Tarsus by the name of Saul. His name hasn't been changed yet to Paul. And in a vision, he has seen a man by the name of Ananias come in and place his hands on him and restore his sight. In other words, he knows you're coming, Ananias. Go. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many tell things, how much wrong this man has done to your believers in Jerusalem. And he is here with authority from the ruling priests to put in chains all who call on your name. This is a typical response of people, right? Lord, I got a better idea. Let's not give him his sight back. He might kill us. Go, the Lord told him, for this man is my chosen instrument to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. Indeed, I will show him how much he has to suffer for my name's sake. While probably no one serving in the ministry next to Jesus has ever suffered as much to preach the gospel as the Apostle Paul. The times he sat in prison, the times he was beaten for preaching the word. Well, he's supposed to go to Gentiles and Gentile kings even, and he did. But what we often forget when we say that Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, he also preached to the Jews. Don't forget that. But before we go there, I think you need to know these terms in the Bible, this term Gentile, the term nation, and the term Greek. In other words, Paul was to preach to the nations, to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. Look at your sheet for a moment. There's a Greek term, ethnos. In the plural, it means nations or Gentiles. Can be translated either way. You know the word very well. From it, we get our word ethnic. And in the greater Cleveland area, there are people from every kind of ethnic background, okay? Gentiles, they're among the nations of the world. And of course, you know how the Jews refer to anybody who is not a Jew. They are goyim. They are Gentiles, okay? That's the Hebrew word for ethnos. But there's also another Greek term, Hellen. Now, you know this term very well. If you went to school and learned anything about Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, the great Greek philosophers, they were Hellenistic. They were Greeks. In other words, they were not Jews. They were Greek Gentiles. Now, having explained that a little bit, let's go on a little time travel back to the beginning of the Bible, because you see, the first people on earth were not Jews. Adam and Seth and Noah and Shem, they were not Jews. In fact, the first Jew, technically, was the great-grandson of Abraham. His name was Judah, from which we get the word Jew. And yet we claim that Abraham was the father of the Jews because they came from him. But if you think about it, a whole bunch of people came from Abraham, didn't they? What had God said? In you will all the nations be blessed, Jew and Gentile, okay? Now, how are they going to be blessed in Abraham? Because from Abraham, down the line, would come a Jew by the name of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, dying on Calvary, rising from the empty tomb, ascending in order to rule over all the nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. And just think of the major religions of the world. Three major religions. The Jews, they claim Abraham as their father. The Muslims, Islam, they claim Abraham as their father through his son Ishmael. And the Christians, well, the Bible tells you, all you who have faith are sons of Abraham. So he is the father of many nations. Now, God had a plan, and he put it into action through the Apostle Paul. You see, first of all, there were the Jews and the Jewish Jesus. You remember the passage, part of the great Lutheran Reformation passage from Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, and this is Paul speaking, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is God's power to save everyone who believes it, the Jew first and also the Greek. Also the Gentile, if you will. What does that mean? Well, God had to have a chronological order. He had to have his son born from some people on earth. He could have chosen Chinese, Japanese, whatever he wanted. He happened to choose the Jewish nation. So he went to them first and gave them the gospel. Now, along in the Old Testament, did he also love Gentiles at the same time? Hello, of course. Who did Jonah go to at Nineveh? 120,000 converts. Eat your heart out, Billy Graham. Those were Gentiles. How about Ruth, the great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus? She was a Moabite and listed in Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. So God loved the Gentiles back there also. But his main work was, first of all, with the Jews, so that Jesus could come from their line, be born in Bethlehem, and do his work. But the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus, and so he divorced the Jewish nation at the end of Matthew chapter 23. He says, I leave to you your house desolate, empty. And really, the main work among the Jews was cut off when they stoned Stephen, and in the same year, God converted Paul. It's a watershed of history as the transition goes from the Jews first to the Greeks or to the nations or to the Gentiles. So we ask, how did God use Paul to further his plan? How did he get to be this guy that next to Jesus is the greatest man in Christian history? Well, let's continue with Acts 18. It says, every Sabbath, that would be in Corinth, Paul would discuss scriptures in the synagogue and try to win Jews and Greeks. Catch that. He always went to the Jews first. And if he could find one Jew who converted, he had himself a hometown preacher and he could move along. Well, why did you want a Jew as your preacher? Well, he knew the scriptures. He knew there were commandments. He knew there were promises of Jesus to come. The minute he would understand that Jesus was the Messiah who had been promised for 4,000 years, he was ready to go. He didn't have to go to seminary. It fell together like the right piece in the right part of the puzzle. If you had to depend on a Gentile as a convert to be a preacher, what did they know? They didn't even have the Bible, the Old Testament. So Paul would always go to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. It continues to say, Paul devoted himself entirely to teaching the word, solemnly assuring the Jews, Jesus is the Christ, that is, he is the Messiah. But they opposed him and slandered him in protest. He shook the dust from his clothes and told them, your blood be on your heads. You're under the curse for not believing in Jesus. I am innocent, he said. From now on, I go to the Gentiles. Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Well, in Romans 9, Paul has this to say. God long ago prepared us for glory, us whom he called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. So he says in Hosea, Old Testament prophet, those who are not my people, I will call my people. Even people called Lutherans, he will call them his people. The second part of our text, back to your bulletins, please. Galatians 1:18 and following. Paul says, after I was trained by Jesus, then 3 years later, see, he went back from Arabia to Damascus, and now he served a vicarage, we would say, and learned how to do practical theology, meeting people where they were, and learning to be a pastor. And so it says 3 years later then, after that vicarage, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Peter, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And I declare before God that I am not lying in what I am writing. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Syria, where ISIS is working quite greatly today, okay? The churches of Christ in Judea were not acquainted with me personally. The only thing they continued to hear was this: the man who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. And they praise God for what had happened to me. Wow, quite a turnaround. A guy who wants to kill Christians now is trying to save them. Paul continues in Romans 9 with these words, and this might be as great of a passage as there is in the whole Bible to get you straight on theology. Because man, people, by their own nature, love to always think that they have to contribute a little bit to God. Like God can't get the job done. Even though Jesus said it is finished, they think, maybe we need to help him finish it a little bit more by me contributing something like, oh, how good I am, and that will help me get into heaven. Here is a passage that knocks that into a cocked hat. Paul says, now I know you people are struggling with understanding some of that text there in Galatians this morning. Let me set it straight and explain it. He says, what we are saying is this: the Gentiles who were not pursuing righteousness, no, they loved sin, knew nothing against it, they found it. They found that righteousness, namely a righteousness which is received by believing, not by doing, but by believing. On the other hand, Israel, that's the Jews, by pursuing the law to gain righteousness, by trying to be holy Pharisees, they did not reach their goal. Why? They did not pursue it by faith, but they pursued it by works. Is that clear enough that anybody can't understand that? The road to heaven is by faith, not by works. That was the theme song of Dr. Luther and the Lutheran Reformation. And he got it from the Apostle Paul as God revealed it to Paul. Now, it had been predicted. They stumbled over the stumbling block. Do you have any idea who the stumbling block is? Simeon said it when he held Jesus in his arms in the temple 40 days after his birth. He said, this child is set as one over whom many will fall and others will rise. He will save some and others will not be able to believe in him because they just don't want him. And so he then quotes Isaiah, see, I am putting in Zion a stone. Notice stone is capitalized because it refers to Jesus. I am putting a stone which will cause them to stumble and a rock that will cause them to fall. You know who that rock is, right? Rock of ages cleft for me. That's all from that type of a situation. But here's what Paul concludes. The person who believes in him, and Isaiah had taught it 700 years before, the person who believes in him, that is in Jesus, will not be disappointed. You don't have to fear death. Jesus is waiting on the other side to receive you. You will not be disappointed and have to say, oops, believed in the wrong God. No, you believed in the right God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the practical application. Because so far it's been pretty theological, right? And people say, oh, I go to church, I want something that affects me at my kitchen sink and when I'm driving my car and everything. Well, theology doesn't always come down that low, but we'll try to make it that low so that it fits and you're not disappointed that you came to church today, okay? And Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 15. Therefore, as Christ has received you, you a Gentile, or you a Jew, or you a mixture of both. Therefore, as Christ has received you, receive one another in order to glorify God. Don't say, that person doesn't look like me. He's got a different skin color. He's of a different religion. I want nothing to do with him. Paul says, let's be receiving so they can go to heaven also. He says, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the Jews, first to the Jews, to do what God promised the fathers. What did he promise? That he would send Jesus to suffer and die. And secondly, Jesus became a servant to have the Gentiles praise God for his mercy. Isn't that what we are here for today? Aren't we singing praises in hymns? Aren't we doing what God wants us to do as it is written? And now Paul gathers all these passages, I didn't list them all, from the Old Testament that talk about the fact that God would work on the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He says, as it is written, for this I will confess you among the Gentiles by singing praise to your name. And again it says, be happy, you Gentiles, you people of Bethlehem in Parma, together with his own people. Again, Isaiah says, Jesse will have the descendant, that is Jesus, who will rise to rule the Gentiles. And in him, in that Jesus, will the Gentiles put their hope. And that's where we place our hope and our security and our assurance. Well, the heart and the core of our sermon today, to let you know why you are able to be here today in this day and age. Why? Because your triune God loved you, died for you, forgave you all of your wrongs, chose you to go to heaven, and wants to use you in his kingdom to reach other Gentiles and Jews, as did Paul, to the glory of his name. And the conclusion is simple, is it not? Let's get a move on and be an instrument like Paul. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.